Welcome to another episode of Beats and Beyond, episode 8. We've been back after a week's break. It's been an amazing week so far. Spring's kicked in. We have good weather. We have good interviews coming up for you guys. We have Miss Bianca Smith in the studio. We have an interview scheduled in a couple minutes. We have a filmmaker, someone who is ready to get her message out there. She's been interviewed by CBC. She has a documentary. There's a lot about this woman that we need to get into. In a couple minutes, we'll start off with a morning refresher, Kilo Feshe, coming out from the West African region. I hope you guys enjoy this.
Leave keys.
Mama piano, oh mama manga pagon. I be good bad boy, no choice. Been in the game not long. She be now we sing up come. Extraordinary things I'm doing. Ordinary things don't remove me again. Extraordinary things I'm doing. Ordinary things don't remove me again. Again, no, no, many things I don't try. I'm a boy, don't I? Gas me up, no time, no time. Oh, I'm trending, I don't know why. Oh, I don't need some goose up. I lost up on my own money, cup. Only some goose up. If you get in my check, money, boy. But give me shot in low. Give me ballet, no. How I get, I don't know. Life is yellow. You don't know tomorrow. Extraordinary things I'm doing. Ordinary things don't remove me again. Extraordinary things I'm doing. Ordinary things don't remove me again. Again, no, no. She won't do your fashion. Kill your fashion. She won't do your fashion. Nigga, no, they give me headache. She won't do your fashion.
As good as the song is, we have to start addressing the biggest top news for the morning is that Taipei, Taiwan was hit with a 7.5 magnitude earthquake. It has damaged a lot of property, injured almost 1,000 individuals, and an undisclosed number of deaths so far. It's been a devastating day for a region that is already facing a lot of trouble regarding their leadership and their political woes, but now a natural calamity has caused a lot of damage to the region, Taipei, Taiwan, to be in particular, to be specific. It's been a sad day for a lot of people there, and we can only hope and pray that individuals can survive such a catastrophic disaster. And moving on to the next piece of news that we have today is related to sports. Finally, some good news for the Montreal Canadiens. They won 5-3 over the Florida Panthers last night and the past couple of days. And all we can say is that we hope Montreal Canadiens can have a better future. I know this season's not the season that everyone was hoping for so far, but there's always light at the end of the tunnel, especially if you're a Montrealer. So we're going to jump into our next song. Hopefully, we can keep the people in Taipei, Taiwan in our prayers, and we can keep Montreal Canadiens in our prayers as well. But the next song we have is coming up from Wizkid. Stay tuned. We have a big interview coming up. Next up, JJ by DJ Exclusive and Wizkid.
Exclusive! Don't know!
Don't know! Don't know!
the few you so Jojo, Jojo. I know go leave you, I know go let you go Jojo, Jojo. I do the song for you just to let you know Jojo, Jojo. I want to keep you, I know go let you go Jojo, Jojo. The way you dancing, no more the few you so Jojo, Jojo. I want to keep you, I know go let you go Jojo, Jojo. I do the song for you just to let you go Jojo, Jojo. I want to keep you, I know go let you go Jojo, Jojo. My party, I'm on an exclusive they play. Hey, touch me, I touch you. I'm on a the game we they play. Hey, drink on my sister. I'm on a rosé we they pop. I came with your girlfriend, and we came in a Porsche. Hey, down to Malaysia, down to Magolo. I'm killing the sound, the music they make it a bounce. It's exclusive, lady. This is baby, lady. Mastercraft, your shape. I'm on the way you dancing, no matter if you. Jojo, Jojo. I know go leave you, I know go let you go Jojo, Jojo. I do the song for you just to let you know Jojo, Jojo. I want to keep you, I know go let you go Jojo, Jojo. The way you dancing, no more the feel you so Jojo, Jojo. I want to keep you, I know go let you go Jojo, Jojo. I do the song for you just to let you know Jojo, Jojo. I want to keep you, I know go let you go Jojo, Jojo. Hold on tight to you. I say hold on tight to you. Make you let them go, no. If you see my baby, ah da da, oh yeah, hold on tight to you. I say hold on tight to you. Make you let them go, no. Baby, see your body, drive me crazy. Baby, see your body, oh my jacket down. Baby, see this your body, it gon' make me crazy. Baby, see this your body, you got to the way you dancing, no matter if you use it, Jojo. I know go leave you, I know go let you go Jojo, Jojo. I do the song for you just to let you know Jojo, Jojo. I want to keep you, I know go let you go Jojo, Jojo. The way you dancing, no more the feel you so Jojo, Jojo. I want to keep you, I know go let you go Jojo, Jojo. I do the song for you just to let you know Jojo, Jojo. I want to keep you, I know go let you go Jojo, Jojo. The way you dancing, no more the feel you so Jojo, Jojo. I know go leave you, I know go let you go Jojo, Jojo. I do the song for you just to let you know Jojo, Jojo. I want to keep you, I know go let you go Jojo, Jojo. The way you dancing, no matter if you use it Jojo, Jojo. I want to keep you, I know go let you go Jojo, Jojo. I do the song for you just to let you know.
It's an amazing Wednesday morning in Montreal, a little chillier than the past couple of days, but we're back at Beats and Beyond, another episode after a week's break. We know the audience from all around the world was really confused as to why we didn't have an episode last week. Well, we're on a break. Just like everyone else, we just needed a break. And we're back with a new episode with a new talented individual in our studio. Bianca, how are you doing today?
I'm great. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for being here. I know you're a super busy individual, but just having you on here, we just couldn't miss this opportunity. I think it's great to have you on, particularly at the time it is now with so many conflicts around the world. I feel like individuals like you who shed light on matters that should matter are important and should be given a platform. And I'm so grateful for you for having you here today. I just want to go into more background stuff. I want to get to know about you and your family, where you guys are from, just a little bit more about you as an individual and your history. Just for the audience to get to know you a little bit better.
Mm-hmm. So I'm second generation Canadian.
Okay.
So I was born in Toronto. My parents were born in Toronto. But on my mom's side, my grandparents immigrated from Jamaica. And on my dad's side, they're Jamaican and Trinidadian.
Okay. That's cool.
Yeah.
That's cool. Do you ever get a visit? Have you been to Jamaica?
I've never Trinidad? Been to Jamaica. It's on the list. It's on okay. the bucket list for the end of 2024. I will be
wow.
seeing JA.
And end of this year.
End of this Perfect. Year. But Trinidad, I've been at least 3 times in my lifetime now. Yeah.
Nice. That's so cool. I've always wanted to visit the Caribbean. I grew up in Tanzania. I've grew up by the beach in East Africa. So I just know that lifestyle, living by the beach and having that slow-paced life and just taking it as it comes. I understand that really well, and I miss that, to be honest, because mm-hmm. I feel like living in Canada, especially the time that it is now, it's very hustle culture, very fast paced. Yeah. You know, you take every single opportunity that you get, and it's a full 360 from where I'm from, and mm-hmm. where I'm sure your family's from as mm-hmm. well. Mm-hmm. But I want to know, how has that influenced your life? Do you still see certain practices that you have in at your home, certain words, certain languages? Is there any still an aspect of that culture still there in your family?
It's something that I feel like I've had to reclaim slowly over my life.
Yes.
Like, I've always grown up loving Canada and loving being a Canadian. Yep. But I've also always known that I've had another part of my identity that I get to discover just because I'm Torontonian. Right. And it just so happens that the population is, there's just so many Caribbean people everywhere.
Yes.
And there's a lot of Caribbean influenced food and obviously Caribana.
Food's great, by the way.
The food is amazing.
Food is great. Caribbean food is great.
It's what I miss most.
Yeah, I went to Toronto, I had Caribbean food. Definitely doesn't compare to the actual Caribbean food, but I just loved it. Absolutely great. I grew up eating barbecued food on charcoal mm-hmm, grill, mm-hmm. and Caribbean food is the closest I can get to mm-hmm, that. Mm-hmm. So I absolutely love Caribbean food. And sorry, I cut you off, by the way.
No,
but
it's okay.
I just got excited. As soon as you say food, I get excited. but let's go back to your background. Yeah, sorry, what were you saying?
Yeah, so I've gotten to explore my culture through the fact that I grew up in Toronto. So a lot of the people around me, like the school that I went to, was 90% Caribbean kids.
Yes.
Either first generation or second generation.
Mm-hmm.
So I got to experience the music and the culture through that way.
Yep.
But now in my adult life, I'm kind of more exploring my ancestry and my roots.
Right.
And trying to find like the places and the people that I haven't gotten to know, and try and reconnect through that way. Yeah.
That's interesting. I had a conversation a couple of weeks ago with a friend, and we spoke about how a lot of Jamaican people are looked down upon, especially living in Toronto.
Mm.
It's a very weird understanding of lifestyle and culture where groups of Jamaican individuals usually hang out with each other. That's mm-hmm. it's almost like a thing. It's given. And then a lot of times that is looked down upon in a different site. And I find it quite intriguing because I feel as though Jamaican influence is everywhere. Mm-hmm. If you think about Canadian lingo, if you ask someone mm-hmm. from Toronto what they speak like, the Toronto man's lingo.
Wagwan fam.
A lot of that has to do with Jamaican, mm-hmm. with the way people speak in Jamaica.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing in the UK as well. Mm-hmm. Jamaican language has influenced the lingo so much. So I feel like there's a huge influence of Jamaican culture, whether it's language, whether it's music with reggae, whether it's food. Any of that is influenced majorly by Jamaican culture. But I want to know more about your experience in Montreal. Has that been different from Toronto, and how so?
It was a 180. Yeah. I really was not expecting to be so culture shocked when I moved to Montreal because I've been bilingual most of my life.
Right. So you speak French?
I speak French fluently.
Okay,
I took French immersion
from
first grade until the end of high school, pretty much.
Right.
And I always loved French culture and French language and French rap specifically. Mm-hmm. So I was always listening and reading French. So I became bilingual pretty easily.
Right.
But when I moved to Montreal, I knew that there was a much smaller Black population here than Toronto. I was expecting that. I was ready for that.
Yeah.
I wasn't ready for the fact that the majority of that Black population is French African and French Caribbean, meaning Haitian.
Right.
Which is very night and day from
so that
Jamaican.
Caught you off
yeah.
guard for sure.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right.
Well, not more that it caught me off guard because I knew that was most likely going to be the demographic because of the language aspect.
Yes.
But more kind of like the differences and the fact that I wasn't really going to be able to navigate that community as easily as I thought I was going to be able to.
Right. That makes a lot of sense. Especially as a filmmaker, I feel like you should always know your demographic, who
mm-hmm.
you're around, the people that are around you, because more often than not, you capture stories and themes from the people around you,
mm-hmm.
and being able to infiltrate and be able to feel as part of a community is super important. I feel like we're gonna jump into our first ad break before we go into all the deep stuff about your documentary and your journey as a filmmaker. So we're gonna go into our first ad break and we'll be back in about a minute or so.
Are you a student interested in giving yoga a try? For just $60, new students can discover the joys of movement and harmony with unlimited access to classes at Moda Yoga Montreal. Located in the heart of the plateau, the Moda Yoga Studio offers a variety of hot yoga classes with something to match every ability level. They're good to find your flow or just recharge. Karma class is excluded and the offer renews automatically after 1 month at $139 per month. Can be canceled at any time without penalty up to 1 week before the renewal. Moda Yoga Montreal is located at 3863 Saint Laurent Boulevard, and for more information, you can go to modayogamontreal.com.
And we're back, Beats and Beyond, Episode 8 with Bianca Smith. Right before our ad break, we started talking about the Montreal demographic, and Bianca spoke a little bit about her experience moving from Toronto to Montreal. So Bianca, now that you've been in Montreal for about, 2 years now?
Almost three years. Yeah.
How has that journey been? Have you felt a little more secure in your friendship and in the people around you and what you do on a daily basis? How does that feel?
It definitely took me a lot longer than I thought it would to get acclimated to Montreal.
Mm-hmm.
just because there's just a lot of things that have happened. Like, I came here at the end of the pandemic, you know, 2021.
Right.
Things weren't still, like, open.
Yes.
Even my first Christmas break, that's when things closed down again for,
yes,
like, the last
time. Yeah, I was here at that time. I remember the curfew and all of that.
Yeah, the curfew,
terrible times.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of shifting and moving around that I've had to do to try and find my way in Montreal. But I feel like now I've almost fully got it down pat. I recently became a driver in Montreal.
Let's go.
So I feel all like right. That's like a big badge,
yeah,
of honor to live here, is
absolutely,
if you drive in this city with these people.
absolutely.
So, yeah, I feel
absolutely
good about that.
That's cool. I want to dive into your many hats that you wear on a daily basis. I want to know what a day in the life of Bianca looks like. I know you're doing filmmaking and you're into cheerleading as well,
mm-hmm,
but I want to hear from your words. What do you do on a daily basis?
Wow, that's crazy. I try my best to follow the millionaire's morning routine, even though,
right,
I'm
so
not a morning person.
So you're up at like 5:30?
Not 5:30, because I'm not a morning person. If I'm lucky, let's say 8 a.m. Let's
okay
start at 8 a.m.
Hey, that's so good. That's
yeah,
so good.
I'm hitting the gym, you know, gotta stay moving, gotta stay healthy.
Yep.
Also for cheer, I gotta, you know, stay strong and stuff. So
mm-hmm,
I work out pretty regularly. I'll try and get some writing in during the day, but something that I practice every day, no matter how busy I am, is like mindfulness, and making sure that I'm absorbing everything that's happening around me, because I do a lot to survive in the city, unfortunately,
right,
just because of the cost of living and the
yeah
way things are.
Absolutely.
So staying grounded is really important too.
Yeah, 100%. You spoke about writing. Are you writing a journal? Is it ideas? Is it potential stories that you could cover? What are you writing exactly?
I have a lot of different like journals and notebooks.
Mm-hmm.
I just try and write something every day, no matter what that is. No matter if it's working on a script or an idea that I'm trying to work on, or putting down ideas, or journaling, you know, feelings or events, etc.
Yeah, so it could be various different things.
Yeah, just flexing the muscle.
Right,
yeah,
fair enough. The reason you're here and the reason that you received publicity and you're on CBC was particularly for your short documentary called Lost in Translation. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Mm-hmm.
What are the themes that you cover in this short documentary, and why a short documentary? Why that form of content?
So the documentary is part of a larger program that's called Being Black in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
Funded by CBC and TD and Netflix and a bunch of other people, but spearheaded by Fabienne Colas, who is a wonderful, wonderful Black woman who has been spearheading artistry for Black youth for a long time now. But anyway, it's her program, and she picks 5 young Black people between the ages of 18 to 29 from all of the major cities in Canada, and you pitch a story of something that you want to make. If they like it, you get interviewed, and if you're successful in that interview, then they give you the crew and classes to learn what you need to do to be able to be a successful filmmaker.
Right.
It's a year-long process, and
mm-hmm,
by the end of that year, you have a finished documentary.
How did you find out about this opportunity? Was it through school, and how did you apply?
It was insane, actually. And at the end of my first year in film studies here at Concordia, I still was just not completely satisfied with my experience because I wasn't getting to make films, and that's why I moved to Montreal. That's why I put up with all the things that I did to be able to stay here,
right?
For as long as I have. But I needed another way to be able to do it. And I applied for film production to switch, here at Concordia, and I got denied for the second time, and I was really, really crushed. So I just started Googling black film artistry, black filmmaking internships, et cetera, in Montreal. And I found the Being Black in Canada program, which their application was closing in 6 hours.
Wow.
6 hours. So I just grinded out on the couch for like an hour, putting together my application, and I submitted it. And luckily
you're in. And
yeah, exactly. Wow.
I guess it was meant to be, huh?
Yeah.
Wow. Look at that. I want to know more about the themes that you would cover otherwise. I know this is a very niche topic, and because you applied for a program that covers black individual stories in Canada, what kind of stories do you like to cover otherwise? Is there an area of interest that you would want to get into if you had a blank sheet right in front of you?
Right now I'm actually trying to get into like thriller and psychological thriller, which is crazy for me because I hate horror movies.
Wow. That's insane.
I just really like the vehicle of telling stories through horror movies.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Something interesting. A lot of Hollywood film directors who direct horror and thriller actually hate horror.
Yeah,
and
exactly. I'm terrified.
It's a thing. And I find that very interesting. It's like those who, it's like the thing that they say, the funniest people are the saddest kind of thing, you know? I find that very, very intriguing. But thriller, psychological thrillers, I absolutely love that. That's my favorite genre. But what are you doing to explore that? Are you looking at different filmmakers? Are you watching other things? Are you writing down things? Are you actively making anything at the moment?
Yeah, so I'm actually in the research phase of a script that I'm trying to make.
And
right
what's
now.
That like? Sorry, I'm trying to get into the process of filmmaking. So what is that research like? Are you just taking everything that you see, or is there a particular way that you go about it?
So this idea I've had now for like the past 2 years, but just haven't been able to do anything with it. Now I've realized that I want to tell this story through the vehicle of horror, but I don't know that much about horror. So I have to watch horror movies.
Right.
I'm watching a lot of film bro YouTube videos about, you know, how to make the perfect horror movie or like how to write the perfect character, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
But also talking to other people, other peers of mine in the film community here in Montreal and the art community here in Montreal about, my ideas and some of the things that I'm thinking about.
Yeah. Do you think Montreal is a great place to explore filmmaking?
Mm-hmm. I love it. I mean, that's why I came here.
Right.
Is because Toronto, to me, it's just way too competitive.
Right.
And there's just a lot of negativity in independent artistry and letting other people shine, but also giving other people the room to shine.
Right.
But also like the hustle culture element there too, just because of the cost of living.
Yes.
So the pressure and the stakes are a lot higher in Toronto than in Montreal. I feel like people are a lot more, as they say, laissez-faire. A lot more easygoing and relaxed, especially in the art community in Montreal, which is why I moved here.
Right. Fair enough. I feel like filmmaking is that kind of thing where whoever's already established has almost like 10, 12 steps ahead of everyone else. And unfortunately, we're in a phase in Canadian socioeconomic stature that it's getting worse. It's getting more and more niche. It's getting a smaller and a smaller group. Particularly for filmmaking, but I want to know more about your documentary that's got you to where you are now, in the sense that you received a lot of publicity for your documentary. Tell me why you think that is so. Why is it that your story resonated with so many people? What was your story about in particular that captured hearts?
Well, through this experience of being black in Canada, we've gotten to premiere our films across the whole country. So Vancouver, Calgary, Ottawa, Toronto, Montreal, and Halifax.
Okay.
And even in places where there isn't a language element to the socio-political landscape of the city.
Mm-hmm.
There's been people who have come out to me after the screening of the film and said, hey, like, I really resonated with your story of just like coming somewhere and just not knowing what's going on and trying to, you know, find your way and,
yes,
and having these other elements and figures that are throwing you off culturally also.
Yes.
So I feel like that's why it's resonated with people.
Can you tell the audience exactly what your documentary is and what it's about, just so they can mm-hmm. get a sense of everything that we're speaking about on the surface level?
Mm-hmm. So the story is from my perspective at then 18, geez, talking about the experiences of moving from Toronto to Montreal after the pandemic, after being in high school in the pandemic, so really, really needing a community.
Yes.
Moving to Montreal as someone who is completely bilingual, but no matter what, I won't be ever able to get rid of my English accent fully. There's just going to be things that I won't be able to pronounce
yeah.
the way
yeah,
that a
for
French
sure.
person can.
For sure.
And kind of navigating that landscape, and then also going to Concordia and seeing that my program was not reflective of the students in it, that there are very few professors of color in the cinema school, and wondering why that was.
Right. And then how does your documentary address that? Is it more an interview basis? Is it more attacking the problem and the topic at its core?
So the story is just also the events that were just happening to me at that time.
Yes.
But sprinkled in through the film are two interviews that I did with two of my friends who happened to be on the cheer team also. Shout out Concordia Cheer. And telling their experiences of being Black students at Concordia
mm-hmm.
in different programs and different parts of the school and faculty, and speaking to their experiences, feeling that they weren't represented
yeah.
By professors and administration.
Mm-hmm. And once you go about making a documentary, was there a lot of back and forth with the editing and making sure this is the final cut? And then how did that go about?
So another detail of the program is you have 2 days to shoot, 2 8-hour days to shoot, and 2 days to edit.
So a whole year for 4 days of shooting and editing.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
is ridiculous.
Well, that's what it is. That's what making a movie is so much prep, a little bit of actual production, and then whatever's post-production.
Wow, that is insane.
Yeah.
You see, my version, my thought was, I'm looking at this from a movie perspective,
mm-hmm.
where people shoot movies for like a month and then spend a year editing those movies.
Mm-hmm.
This is a whole 360.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is ridiculous. 4 days for yeah. a year of prep?
Yeah.
That is insane.
Yeah.
Wow. So how do you feel when the final cut was ready and you're like, okay, this is my documentary, it's done, this is what I've created? What was that feeling like? Can you remember?
So the deadlines were really, really close to when they were supposed to premiere for the first time at Toronto Black Film Festival.
Right.
So the first time I saw the film completely done was on the big screen at the festival.
Whoa.
So my face is just blown up, and I'm looking
Whoa.
At it, and I'm talking, and I'm hearing myself in the loudspeakers.
So you're basically like the audience as well. Like, you're watching this for the first time.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I experienced it for the first time with the
insane.
Audience. Yeah.
I cannot imagine that.
Yeah.
Wow. And would you rather have it that way, or would you have rather had a little more time with editing?
I mean, it's never going to happen again.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's a one
hey,
in a million.
You never know. You never know. I feel as though if you had 6 hours to get the application in, and you got it in, and you got your documentary in, and you are where you are now, you can never say no.
Like, not in that spec. I more meant like, I never want my final piece
oh,
of
yeah.
work to be seen for the first time
oh, yeah.
on the big screen
oh, yeah.
by me.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that is a very, very specific situation.
Yeah.
I can't imagine other filmmakers being in that situation often. Yeah, that is a weird situation to be in. But I want to know what challenges, not necessarily you faced as an individual moving from Toronto to Montreal, but what do filmmakers face that maybe obstructs them from producing the highest level of content that they want to?
Well, the biggest barrier in the film industry is opportunity, unfortunately.
Right.
As we were talking about, the film industry can be very clicky sometimes. And there's some people who might not want to share knowledge or experience or contacts, etc. I'm not saying that everyone in the industry is like this, just that this just happens to be a very gatekeepy industry to be, you know,
yeah.
frank.
Yeah.
So getting access to even cameras and crew, or even you know, the time to write and tell your own stories is a very, you know, privileged aspect. Not a lot of filmmakers in the beginning, no, I don't think any filmmakers in the beginning are able to be full-time filmmakers. It's one of the careers that unfortunately you have to have a main gig, and filmmaking is your side gig until you can make it your full-time thing. Yeah,
that does make a lot of sense. I know a lot of filmmakers and fashion designers. Somehow I'm friends with a lot of fashion designers. and they speak about the same thing. It's more of, I'm making this my side gig for as long as I can, and hopefully somehow I can make this my main thing. Mm-hmm. I want to know more about platforms like TikTok and YouTube. To what extent can those platforms elevate your status as a filmmaker? You speak about opportunity, and I 100% agree with you that there should be more opportunity. The other side of the argument would be, we have so many free social media platforms where you can make films, put them on for free, gain the publicity that you need, and then take steps from there. What would you say about that?
That is a very complicated question, because it's true, we are in the era of oversaturation of media. Yes. It's just everywhere and you can't escape it.
Yeah.
I do think that there is a difference between media and art. I feel like there's different branches. And I feel like as long as they're filmmakers who are trying to tell a message through artistry, they'll never be able to be taken over by social media platforms, which unfortunately just can't really get to that depth with the short content limit.
Absolutely. It's also about money. Like you can't make as much money on social media as you can by being a filmmaker who gets his or her pieces on a screen. But I want to know more about your inspiration to be a filmmaker. Was that something you always wanted to do as a kid? And how did that change growing up? And are there certain filmmakers that you're inspired by and you want to follow in the footsteps of?
Filmmaking has been my dream and my passion for my entire life. Pretty much, I got my first iPod when I was like 10 or 11, and I started making short little videos on that.
Yeah.
I would write scripts. I would have characters. I had a YouTube channel from the time I was like 12 to like 15 or 16.
Wow.
And it was like my main thing was just reading, writing characters, creating, you know, universes. It was really like my getaway and my escape, and I loved it. Yeah.
Yeah. Are there any directors you look up to as inspiration and people you want to follow in the footsteps of?
I mean, everyone says him, but Spike Lee. I just adore him. I just adore his work. Ava DuVernay. I'm obsessed with her and what she does. I've honestly been getting into Tarantino lately, even though I was kind of a Tarantino hater when I started school.
Why?
Just because it's just a cliche answer to say, who's your favorite director? Oh, Tarantino.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, the greats always get, some criticism, but you know, he's done some great work. We had, Denis Villeneuve, in Montreal a couple weeks ago promoting Dune 2. And I spoke about that, on the show. Timothée Chalamet was supposed to be here. He couldn't make it because he was ill or something. And it's Quebec does have a reputation around the world for filmmaking. And it's a place where directors and actors have been able to find success in their own regards. What is success for you in the short term and the long term?
Success for me in the short term is just being able to make the work that I want at the basis that I want it. You know, not having to be put off of timelines because I have to do X, Y, Z.
Yeah.
But just making pieces that I'm proud of and with people that I want to work with.
Right.
And also working on my technique. That's success for me in the short term.
Yeah.
In the long term, I have a lot of goals and a lot of, things I want to reach. I'd love to win an Oscar one day.
Let's go.
Hey,
you manifest that right now.
But we'll start with the Canadian Screen Award. We'll start with one of those.
We'll be humble.
I need one of those first. but there's a lot of... I just hope to change the industry, really.
Was there a moment or a couple moments while shooting the documentary that are memorable, that stick out to you at the back of your head?
Yeah. So the second day of the shooting, I got together with some friends of mine who are part of this group that we called the Black Creative Collective. We were in an internship program together just before I made this documentary, and it was also a filmmaking internship right. opportunity. And I needed extras to be in the background of my film. Mm-hmm. So it was a nice sunny day at like the end of October, early November, I think. And everyone came out. We were all dressed in all black. To be like uniform together. I kind of right. wanted the Black Panther look a little bit.
Yeah.
And yeah, the sun rays were hitting our skin and it just looked so great and it felt so great to be out
yeah,
there with all
like,
of them.
Hey, I'm a filmmaker now. This is who I am.
Exactly.
This is what I do.
Exactly.
Yeah. I love those moments. I had that moment when I first stepped in the studio here and when I started speaking, I was interviewing a lot of athletes from the Concordia Stingers football team. Mm. That's who I started interviewing first. I interviewed the first two captains. And as soon as I stepped in and I had the mic on, I was like, yup, this is me. Mm-hmm. I do this for a living. This is what I like to do. This is what I'm going to do for the future. Mm-hmm. And it's just one of those things where you just feel like everything is just perfect in that one single moment and it clicks and you want that rush over and over.
Mm-hmm.
I really hope you win an Oscar like that. I just love that you have a goal to reach the highest point and I really hope you can do that. But from a filmmaker's perspective, there might be filmmakers listening to our show today. What advice would you give to other filmmakers who are just starting their journey out?
Just starting their journey out. Well, watch a lot of films. That's also me trying to take my own advice because I definitely have not watched enough films.
Yeah.
So watch a lot of films. Talk about film. Read about film. Literally just immerse yourself in it. Find people who are also interested in immersing themselves in it. Because truly filmmaking, if you want to be successful, you just have to go full speed ahead. It's not something that you can half-ass, unfortunately.
Right.
If you want to reach, you know, a certain level, if you want to be able to make money off of your filmmaking, if you just want to make films casually, that's a different story.
Right.
But really just put yourself in it and go full steam ahead and don't look back.
do you have any favorite movies or shows that you watch that you would like to
share with people?
Yeah. Why not?
Well, my favorites on Letterboxd are Malcolm X, obviously.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I really liked Queen and Slim from 2019.
Cool.
Little Bonnie and Clyde story. Right now I'm watching a show called The Gentlemen on Netflix.
Yeah. That's new, right? Like,
yeah.
How was it?
I am obsessed with it. I have
really?
One more episode left and I started it just this Easter weekend, like on Friday.
Wow. I haven't started yet, but I got a lot of people telling me that I should watch it.
Yeah, it's really, really, really well done. Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting. Are there any documentaries that you've watched that kind of impacted you and maybe speak about that a little bit?
Yes. So in 2020, when the BLM movement was taking steam, there was a lot of opportunity to see free documentaries and free black films in that time.
Right.
To try and combat anti-black racism. But that's when I first watched The 13th by Ava DuVernay, which talks about the 13th Amendment. And the abolition of slavery and the prison industrial complex. And it at that point, I was still relatively young. I think I was like 17, 16. So I really didn't have a full understanding of how slavery in the United States and Canada has kind of industrialized itself to still exist today in some aspects.
Right.
So that's something that definitely really impacted me and impacted me to want to tell stories of a similar caliber.
Interesting. I just wonder to what extent individuals get their information from movies and documentaries and TV shows. I feel like that's a narrative that we're seeing more and more often, where individuals lack the access or the understanding of maybe reading books and gaining knowledge about the past. But a lot of people tend to watch biopics and nonfiction movies of sorts that depict history and depict conflicts and social constructs in different ways, and that's how people get a lot of their information. And I want to jump to the film festival where your documentary was shown. How do film festivals impact the landscape for filmmakers as a whole? And then tell us a little bit about how the film festival helped you get that platform that you needed.
Well, film festivals are kind of essential. You know, what's the point of making work if you don't want anyone to see it?
Right.
Kind of thing. All the work that goes into making a film.
Yes.
So after the production process and the post-production process of putting the film together. Then there's distribution. Mm-hmm. And getting your film to a film festival that's recognized is A, really important if you want to work with directors' unions to get credits, to be able to reach a certain level and finally, you know, XYZ.
Yes.
But also get, you know, funding, opportunities, jobs, also contacts. So it's really necessary.
Yeah. And tell me about your experience being on the film festival. What does that feel like? Are you amongst the other directors? Are you backstage? Do you have a special entrance for yourself? And what's that evening or night or day like, where you are almost one of the shining stars in the room who have created such a magnificent piece for people to witness?
It is really crazy, honestly. But through this program, we've gotten to go on tour together, pretty much all of us, every single time. So every city, we're in the hotels together.
That's great.
We're going to the pre-events together, and then we're going to the actual screenings together, and we're sitting together watching each other's work, and we clap for each other, obviously.
Right.
But seeing myself and seeing my peers get recognized and have this opportunity to just, you know, stand in our own creativity in our own right and just be proud of ourselves and our own work no matter what, is something that I feel like BIPOC directors and filmmakers don't get as often as their white peers. So I think that it's just so important, and I took every single moment to just like take it all in. Yeah.
It's funny because a lot of times you hear people feel imposter syndrome, where they don't know if they really fit in, and they don't know if they want that limelight. And then you have the total opposite, where people want to be the stars. They want all the attention and fame they can get. Where do you feel you lie in that spectrum, if the spectrum even exists? Where do you feel like you lie? And be humble about it. Like, don't shy away from taking on the light, because you should anyways. But where do you feel like you stand?
Yeah, I'll be honest. I've always known since I was younger that I wanted to have an influence.
Right.
That I wanted to share my creativity and my light with other people.
Yeah.
And not only that, but I just had the tools within myself. I've always been a really, like, interpersonal person, like a good speaker and humble too. So I've always wanted to be like at the top of my field and famous, unfortunately.
Hey, don't say unfortunately. I think it's great to be famous. I would love to be famous. I think unfortunately we just see so many stories, like the Diddy story recently, that you just see the downfall of individuals that are famous, and it's so unfortunate. Mm-hmm. But we fail to realize just how many people are famous. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of people in this world on Instagram with 1 million followers or more. And then we hear a few of them about their downfalls, and unfortunately it is what it is. And it influences a lot of individuals in a negative way. But I think fame can be taken in a positive note if handled correctly and humble. But I just feel, as a filmmaker, there's a lot of progress to be made to recognize filmmakers, not necessarily recognize the films that they make. Mm-hmm. That's what I believe. I feel as though a lot of times when we refer to a filmmaker, it's always that one film or the one documentary that you refer them to, and you categorize where they stand based on that one film or documentary. But we're in a phase with AI, with the technology we have, that one filmmaker can produce hundreds of films and a wide range of films. That's how you want to dive into thriller and psychological thriller and all of that. There's so many directors who do various things, and I feel as though all directors or filmmakers should be recognized for their variance and their ability to jump into different genres and niches in that sense. We're getting close to the end of the interview, and I want to ask you a question that I always ask every interviewee that comes on. 5 years from now, where do you see yourself?
Oh my goodness.
Yep.
5 years from now, I will be 26. So still pretty young. I hope to have moved somewhere warmer, at least for part of the year. I love Montreal, and I love the culture here, but the snow is really killer, and these winters,
the weather's terrible.
I can't do it.
The last year has been so bad. I was here over the summer too, and it rained for most of the summer.
The rain was bad.
So we barely had a summer. We had like 1 month of the sun and hot weather. That's about it. It was just absolutely terrible. Like, I'm from Tanzania. I grew up by the ocean. This is not where I'm supposed to be. But it is what it is. Mm-hmm. Sorry, I cut you off. Yeah,
No, 5 years from now, I hope to have started working in the film industry. Who knows? Maybe that warmer place is LA. And I'm hopefully making work that I'm proud of and that I love and that I have a community that I feel represented and cared for by, and I'm hopefully not as worried about money and making ends meet. That's
fingers,
my hope.
Fingers crossed on that one. Bianca, thank you so much for being on here. We're gonna jump onto our second ad break, but it's been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you.
Dive into the ultimate comic haven at Crossover Comics. Unleash your inner geek with the best selection of graphic novels, manga, games like Pokemon and Magic, in-store events, merch, and more. Our knowledgeable and friendly staff have got your back with awesome recommendations for your next read. Score big with a free account. Enjoy comic subscriptions and membership discounts. Be in on the action at 3560 Notre Dame West in St. Henry, right near Metro Lionel Brew. Crossover Comics, sharing your passions since 2012.
And we're back. Episode 8 of Beats and Beyond. We had Bianca Smith come into the studio. We had an amazing, amazing conversation regarding filmmaking and her documentary. If you've not seen it, please look for it. Lost in Translation, Bianca Smith. This has been an absolute pleasure, and I'm so happy to be back after a week's break. We're going to go to something more upbeat, something more fun, something more, dare I say, techno. Go, yeah. Go, yeah. Go, yeah.
Another man food is another man poison. Go, yeah. Monkey no fine, but in my mind like I'm. Go, oh yeah. Sure you want come calculate my money. Go, oh yeah. You want to dance, oh, you want to shake, oh, oh yeah. Go, God bless you, bless, oh, oh yeah. Chop the rice and banana, oh yeah. I go do my best, oh, yeah. Chop the way do one banga, oh yeah. The party don't start, oh. Shall you got love for the matata? Slim daddy, I love my life, I love my life, I love my life. Yeah, yeah. Oh, mortal ajayo. Go, go. Rihanna make you roll with so. Yeah, yeah. Go, do your own, make I do my own. Go, go. Them mama, them papa, I let them want to quarrel. You know that I'm a big man, yeah. Kick harder than Jackie Chan, yeah. My money coming, big bang, so yeah. Number one in your area, yeah. Sule, I want me to Sula, yeah, me, oh, yeah. Don't play with me, because your caro is my sister.
Techno, go all the way from Nigeria. Techno have some crazy songs. For those of you who are not familiar with techno, they're a group out of West Africa and Nigeria in particular, and they make a lot of famous Afrobeat music that's been on my playlist for the longest time ever. So if you've never heard of techno, go check them out. The next song that we're going to play is by a Canadian artist called Shikoros, I believe. I need to learn how to say his name. Shikoros. I think his name is Shikoros. Well, either way, his next song called In Too Deep has been viral for a little while. I hope you guys absolutely enjoy the song. And he's performing in Montreal very, very, very soon. So keep an eye out.
Talk to me, are you with it or tryna play? Baby, rock with me, girl, rock with me. You got sugar, I'm tryna taste. I know you got a man, but I don't care. The way that ass bouncing, bouncing on me. But I've been seeing running and running to other men. I'm tempted. Honestly, you should really make more time for me. Fuck around, find out you gon' see. No matter what they say, it's not the same. Walking up, I know what's up. Pretty little body, we can fuck it up. No matter what they say, it's not the same. I can't know, but I can hear your body speak. You're the woman that I really want for me. I'm in too deep. No matter what they say, it's not the same. We can have some fun, we can turn it up. I heard that you a freak, I can beat it up. I know the type of girl you are. I'm trying to get to know you. Yeah, she said, salut, coucou mon chéri. I said, what's up, baby girl, let me see your mommy. I make your body sing, sing to me. She said, I need me some more than put the pussy to sleep. You should really make more time for me. Fuck around, find out you gon' see. No matter what they say, it's not the same. You walking up, I know what's up. Pretty little body, we can fuck it up. No matter what they say, it's not the same. I can't know, but I can hear your body speak. You're the woman that I really want for me. I'm in too deep. No matter what they say, it's not the same.
Next up, we have a song coming out of East Africa. This is Damon Platinum's Giddy.
It's Platinum.
It's the kids, baby.
Feeling kwa magedi mpakara. Oh yeah, kili baby. Show me how you silly baby. Me I'm feeling kwa magedi mpakara. Oh yeah, baby, are you gonna dance? If I show you my money, are you gonna party? Kisha twende nyumbani. Then you kiweka tam, ukitoa tam, inakuwa ta 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 ta. Ukinyama tam, ukinoka tam. Ta 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 ta, okay, lama.
key, no cut them. And don't see the bad, I got talk them. Oh, you get the pep.
Next up, we have Bang My Chest by Headband Andy. This is a song that's just gone viral. This is a new music maker, new artist, someone that's just come into the block. He's made a crazy song. I hope you guys love it. A snippet from Headband Andy, and we're gonna move on to Chino Wawa, who we had 2 weeks ago. One of his songs called Fill My Cup from his new EP, an absolute banger. I hope y'all enjoy the last couple minutes off our episode here at Beats and Beyond at CJLO. I hope you guys absolutely love this.
I be feeling proud, you my lady. You come around and do me crazy. I know I got you on this crazy love for you and nobody else. I be calling up on you lately. You give me loving on the daily. I feel like how you slowly pull me down to you and nobody else. Tell me, would you keep me loving, baby? How I feel this time? Would you mind if I can treat you right, babe? Oh no 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 no. You my lady, the way we gon' on the thing, yes, I think about you on a daily. And the new tattoo on the titty, sir. When I'm feeling stressed, you make me slow down. Why we give a new short one? I gonna move on the way when they know that. Baby, come you let me show ya. Tell me, would you keep me laughing, baby? How I feel this time? Would you mind if I can treat you right, babe? Oh no 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 no.
And if I knock a good ass,
just the perfect song to end the perfect session that we've had today. It's been an absolute pleasure having Beats and Beyond back with another episode. Stay tuned. Make sure you rewatch and re-listen to our episodes, and we'll